This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Well, John, that's actually a good segue into stock up and stock down. And each week following the game on the early in the week podcast, following each of the games, John and I are going to do stock up, stock down. We'll do four of each. We'll go back and forth, two apiece for us stock up, two apiece for us stock down. And I think the running game, John, you predicted Jeff Driskel will be the leading rusher, which is a little surprising given the fact that you are the biggest truther when it comes to a guy who I'm not even going to put this one out there. I'm going to let you start with stock up, John, because I know this is a guy that you've got on your list because he is your favorite rookie other than Jalen Petrie on this team. So, John, the floor is yours. Stock up number one.
That would be the player I predicted to rush for over 1,000 yards and be in the running for NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, and that would be Damon Pierce. And anybody watching that game, he was third back. Anybody who watched him saw that he brought a different dimension with the quick cuts, the acceleration, lowering his shoulder, running over a guy. And he's 218 pounds. He's not tall. That's what they list him. He might be 220. And I thought he was tremendous. Five carries, 49 yards, 9.8. And they didn't have a 45-yard run. So
yeah.
Everybody likes Damian Pearson for a reason. And I think yesterday, Sunday, Sean, after I talked to you on CBS, I tweeted, if he is not in the starting lineup, then the Texans will not be putting their best team on the field. And I think that's clear to everyone.
Yeah, I think we saw it. I mean, it five carries, 49 yards. And John, the thing you touched on there that I like the best is it wasn't five carries, 49 yards, and 46 of them came on one busted play. All five of those carries were positive yardage. I think his shortest carry might have been 6 yards. So he had the 20-yard carry that was his first carry of the game, which Clint Sterner said in the postgame show was the best run he's seen by a Texans running back since Carlos Hyde did anything in 2019. And I looked at him. I said, that's hyperbole, man. Come on. And then he's like, well, think of one, Chief. And I'm like, good, Clint. That's a good counterpoint because I can't think of one. You might be right about that. But every run that Damian Pierce had showed some element of why this team is so high on him and why he might wind up being a steal as a fourth round pick. You saw in that 20-yard run, John, the ability to cut back against the grain when the blocking is all going to the right. He finds a hole to the left. A couple of those shorter runs, there was not very much daylight. He was able to find that. He's got great vision. He runs with great explosiveness. He's got good power when he finishes the runs. I was very, very excited. That's as excited about a running back with the Texans as I've been since Arian Foster, probably.
I'll give you an example of a run better than that. Last year against the Chargers, Rex Burkhead had a great game with two or three good runs. And it's because it's Rex Burkhead. People don't remember it. And he never did anything close to that the rest of the time he played. But I think clearly Damian Pierce is faster, quicker than Marlon Mack, or Rex Burkhead. And it's only a matter of time before he's in the lineup.
So let's stick with the rookies and stock up. So with stock up number one is Damian Pierce. John, I'm probably stealing this one from you, but let's stick with the rookies. Damian Pierce might have been the best player offensively with the Texans. John Harris in the postgame show on Saturday night when he was in with Clint Sterner and myself said the best defensive player on the field when he was out there was rookie safety Jalen Petrie from Baylor.
Shocking. I would never have thought that.
So those are your two guys, John. I mean, I feel like there's a picture of the great trios in Houston sports, John McClain, Damian Pierce, and Jalen Petrie, the three horsemen. That's what I'm going to call you. But Jalen Petrie was great, John. He was around the ball quite a bit. He had a tackle for loss. The first series was tough for everybody. You know, Andy Dalton kind of walked down the field. Seth Payne brought it up this morning. He said, it's hard to tell if that was any sort of miscommunication with Petrie and his teammates, or if that was just soft spots in the zone. But the bottom line is that Texan fans one preseason game in, and quite honestly, even more than Damian Pierce, this has been an offseason arc for Jalen Petrie, where from the time he set foot in the building, the upper management, Lovie Smith, Nick Caserio, have had nothing but glowing things to say about him. And we saw that. It was great to see that in a game situation on Saturday.
The last 2 years when he was at Baylor, and Dave Aranda came in and moved him a hybrid safety linebacker position, he was best around the line of scrimmage, not backed up in deep coverage. Although he's really smart and he recognizes things, diagnoses quick, breaks on the ball, but he's got a knack, Sean, for slipping blocks, staying low, and making tackles. He also blitzed a little at Baylor. Of course, they didn't call any blitzes in this game, and he covered slot receivers. And so when they hit him around the line of scrimmage, that was when he's best. And I noticed, too, when I went back and watched the replay, he made a couple special teams tackles, and they didn't talk about that, but they had him on a lot of special teams. So it's pretty obvious Lovie Smith's got big plans for Jalen Petrie on defense and special teams.
All right, John. So we've got Damian Pierce. We got Jalen Petrie stock up. Give us our third stock up from the preseason win over the Saints.
I'm torn because there's several, especially on offense, but there are others on defense. But I got to go to the guy that made the best play of the game, Johnny Johnson III, who came out of nowhere. I hadn't paid any attention to him in camp. You don't see him jumping up, making great plays like Jalen Camp and Nico Collins. But that catch on the last drive, 19 yards, in which he spun three times, reminded me of DeAndre Hopkins in that game in which he did that. And Cowboys. I thought he had the game-winning touchdown. So I'm giving my props. Johnny Johnson, third, undrafted from Oregon.
Yeah, I think you can probably throw Jalen Camp, put him in the same bucket with each other, John. The two-headed sixth wide receiver monster of Jalen Camp and Johnny Johnson. And I felt bad for Camp. Camp made a great catch on the other touchdown that Jeff Driskel threw, the one-handed catch kind of in the, you know, where we're sitting in the press box, tremendous, sort of the near sideline. He made a great catch there. I felt bad for Camp, because the third interception that Driskel threw was underthrown, and Camp had broken free. Camp had gotten by his guy and was open by a few steps. And I think if it's any other quarterback on this team, he's walking into the end zone. I was glad for Camp and Driskel that they got another shot at that on the deep play that set up eventually the game-winning touchdown. So Johnny Johnson III is a good one. I'm going to mix in Jalen Camp there. That's not my last stock up here, but I'm going to mix in. I'm going to attach Jalen Camp as an honorable mention to your Johnny Johnson. This back end of the wide receiver position, John, has gotten very interesting throughout camp, because I think Chad Beebe's done some things in camp. He didn't really get an opportunity to do much in the game on Saturday. But the Weddington kid out of Stanford has done some good things. And I don't think Philip Dorsett and Chris Moore are automatics to make this team.
Or Chris Conley.
Chris Conley's had a good camp, and he didn't play very much. It looks like he's getting the veteran treatment. Anybody who got the treatment where they're not in very much after the first quarter, I feel like is probably in pretty good shape to make this team. But yeah, Conley's body of work as a player overall says he should be fighting for his job. It just seems like he's at a pretty good camp. But yeah, throw his name in there too. That's one of the more interesting position battles. I will say that, and I'll use this as a segue into our fourth stock up, the last one. I think the other one that's shaping up very interesting is the defensive line. And I'm going to give a stock up to the overall pass rush of the backup unit in there. Okoronkwo with a couple sacks, Derek Rivers with a couple sacks, my boy Big Heine getting a sack, John. Kurt Heinisch had a sack and did some good things in the run game. So my fourth stock up is just the overall athleticism and burst and pass rush from that second unit, which was a big reason why they wound up winning that game on Saturday.
Derek Rivers had two sacks. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Brian Cashman, the linebacker.
Yes.
He was the only veteran that Nick Caserio gave up a pick for in the offseason. He came from the Jets. He tied another linebacker, Jalen Reeves-Maybin, for the team lead with seven tackles. But Cashman can run. He can cover. And that's what they want. They look like, Sean, they got some depth at linebacker this year. They did not have last season.
Yep. I have Cashman. John, I do a 53-man roster prediction each week, and I feel good. I actually had Cashman on my 53 going into that game because of some of the things he'd done in practice. And yeah, he's making a nice push. Do you feel better at this point before we get into stock down? Do you feel better overall at this point about the offense or the defense with this team, or neither?
Well, that's a hard one. I would say the defense, just because of the sacks, but they did it against a backup, although Ian Book played a lot last year.
Yeah.
And Dalton should look good. A veteran quarterback who's been in as many camps as he did should be able to take a team down the field the way he did. But considering the defense was awful, you know, the thing I feel best about right now is the running game because of Damian Pierce. But with depth at linebacker, they seem to have more depth in the line. And a new secondary, I think people got to feel good about the defense too. But, man, they play against some great quarterbacks.
They do. It's a rough schedule. I think the ceiling's higher for the defense right now just based on the depth and the fact that the two top picks – that you feel good about right now. Kenyon Green hasn't been in a practice in 2 weeks. I think I feel pretty good that Stingley is going to be a good player for this team. And we've seen Jalen Petrie. So I would say defense if it were me.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's get to stock down, John, and I'll let you start with that one. Four things with this team coming off, just based purely on Saturday, the performance on Saturday, four stock down. Who are some guys that, or position groups, whatever, they could use a little bit of improvement based on Saturday's performance?
My first one is Davis Mills. He came out, he played, he was 3 of 3 for like 14 yards. They didn't get a first down. They looked terrible. So I would have to say Davis Mills. He'll get more playing time in his second preseason game against the Rams and then a little more in the last preseason game against the Niners. So his stock is down after that first game with only one direction to go.
Yeah, I would say mine, and the mine is kind of an adjunct to Mills, but I'll call it my first stock down. Just the overall cohesiveness of the offensive line. Not necessarily throughout the game. The backup unit. The second half, the offensive line was fine, blocking for Pierce and protecting Jeff Driscoll. They did a decent job, but the unit that was in front of Davis Mills was real shoddy. I mean, they were giving up tackles for loss. There were holding penalties. There were all kinds of things that put them behind the chains. Every third down they had while that first unit was in there was, I think the first three third downs they had were all third and double digits. And it was largely because of the offensive line, with the caveat that Laremy Tunsil wasn't out there. Justin Britt wasn't out there. We expect Kenyon Green to become a player for this team. So three of the five spots along that offensive line were being manned by guys who we don't expect to be in the starting lineup when this team is playing meaningful games. And Titus Howard only played a series, but I was hoping that with some of those guys, that unit, it's pretty much a given. Those guys are all going to make the team or be in competition to make the team towards the end of camp. It did not look good. So that's my first stock down, is just the offensive line, the starting unit in that game on Saturday is a stock down for me.
Terrible. And Kenyon Green doesn't get back to practice. He's not going to be starting that first game.
No.
And he's not practicing, and he's way behind. And another thing, even though as a backup, Charlie Hack started a lot of games. Justin McCray, who has moved ahead of Max Sharping and is left guard, and he's the backup center. He started a lot of games. So to me, it was inexcusable because it wasn't like they were playing bad players or third stringers, and those backups looked better than they did. So I agree with you 100%. My second one is Marlon Mack. Now, the first carry, minus 2 yards, hitting the backfield, is not his fault, but because that's just the way it was last year. Now, if you think about it, Sean, with the starting unit they had out there, it was more of the same last year. You mentioned Mills having third and long. That's second, third and long, which was what he faced most of the time. And you hope that won't happen when Damian Pierce is starting and you have all your starters in the line. Remember, they started 12 different offensive linemen last year because of injuries, COVID-19, and ineptness. And you'd like to see them have some kind of stability. But Mack had 3 carries for 6 yards. And maybe if he'd have been the third back after him and Dario Gumbawale, like Damian Pierce was, he'd have been looking as good as Pierce. But I don't think so.
Do you think that Lovie Smith switches up the order that they go in the game on Friday against the Rams? You think he shifts that around? Or you think Pierce is back in, the third back in, like he was the first time around?
Boy, I have no idea. I know this. I'd run Pierce. I wouldn't give him the ball more than 4 or 5 times a game.
Agreed.
I mean, he looks ready to play right now.
Yeah.
There's no need to take a chance on him getting hurt. Because if he gets hurt and he's not going against the Colts, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they'd move him up a spot or not, maybe by the last game. But the other guy's got to be able to run too.
Yep. No doubt. All right, the last stock down, John, I'm going to give to a safety, and it's a safety who I'm shocked is still on this team. I was shocked they extended him, but had a couple plays in this game that if he's doing this in the regular season, it's going to be a big problem, and it's Eric Murray. Eric Murray, in the first half of the game, had a chance for a tackle. I can't remember if it was a TFL he had a chance for, at least to stop a play cold that would have put the Saints in a bad down and distance situation, but he badly whiffed on a tackle that resulted in the ball carrier getting about
Matador.
10 or 12 more. That's exactly what it was. It was an ole play, John. Ole. And then on another play where he actually was in position to make the play and he brought the ball carrier down, but he pulled him down with his face mask and completely nullified what could have been a great play. And that's really all I saw out of Eric Murray. John, I'm still shocked he's on this team. I'm shocked that Nick Caserio kind of redid money to keep him around. I was looking up his contract after those couple of plays, like, all right, what's Eric Murray's chances of not being on this team? The redo of his contract makes it more expensive to cut him than to keep him at this point. He's super expensive to cut next year. He's still got a year left on his contract, but it's kind of an empty year. I don't know how competitive the safety position is right now. It's not like they've got a ton of bodies at that position. So between the lack of depth at that position and the fact that his contract makes it more expensive to cut him than to keep him, Eric Murray's going to be on this team. But I didn't see anything on Saturday night, nor have I seen anything really during training camp that makes me get off of my stance with Eric Murray, which is why not just get rid of him? Then we're rid of all of the O'Brien overspend sludge on this roster. You know, then we're really moving on. Eric Murray is a walking reminder of that crazy offseason where O'Brien just went bananas trading DeAndre Hopkins and signing a bunch of mid-tier and lower-tier players to frontline money. So Eric Murray, based solely on 2 plays and a lot of emotional baggage that I have over the last 2 years, is our last stock down.
And those contracts were negotiated by Jack Easterby.
Yes.
Who, by the way, was not on the sideline for the first time since he was hired in 2019. He was up in the booth, not wearing headsets, of course, and providing advice for Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton. But Murray does something they like, Sean. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Maybe it's behind the scenes. You know, he flashed a little bit last season. I thought he was better last season than the season before. And considering you have Petrie and Jonathan Owens as your starter, and Jonathan has very little experience, maybe that's why Murray's around. Experience.
Okay. And John, if that's the MO that they're going with, and we know that they are, we know, like, in the linebacker room, you got Kirksey and Kamu Grugier-Hill, who are there to tutor Christian Harris. We know we've got veterans along the defensive line now with Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison. They're there to tutor Jonathan Grenard and Ross Blacklock and Thomas Booker and Kurt Heinisch and on and on and on. You know, Damian Pierce himself said it in his postgame media session where he proactively brought up Rex Burkhead and the experienced guys in that room that are the quote village that are raising him. Those are his words right now. The village raising Damian Pierce. I'll take that as an explanation. I just don't need to see Eric Murray out there getting significant snaps at safety this year. That's all. That's how I feel. My favorite line that you've had so far in this podcast, John, is Eric Murray does something they like. I'm not sure exactly what it is. That's
I don't think anybody knows.
It's just, if we were to transcribe this podcast, that sentence would look so ridiculous. And it's true. It's but you're 100% correct. I can't figure it out. All right. So there's your stock up and your stock down from the game on Saturday. John, anything we missed? Any other cleanup items you want to sweep into the mix here before we move on to some of the other things?
They held out 12 players, and I mentioned earlier, 8 starters, and I think that was good. We didn't need to see any of those guys. A couple were because of injuries like Kenyon Green, and when they traded up to get him in the first round, did they trade up or down?
They traded back from 13.
Traded back to 13 to 15 to get Kenyon Green because they knew they could. They did it with the idea that he was going to be a starter, and he looked early on like he was out of shape, so they really need – for him to come on. And I think the toughest cut, based on everything we've talked about on our podcast and things that we see at practice every day, is going to be wide receiver.
Yes.
A couple of those guys. And some of the guys we've talked about are going to be destined for the practice squad. But some of them, as we mentioned, Brian Cashman, Jalen Reeves, maybe new led team in tackles. There's some of these guys coming on, and I can't wait to see when Garrett Wallow gets back,
mm-hmm.
Christian Harris, when he gets back. You know, they've got a lot of talented young players, and once Stingley gets on the field, I'm guessing they'll play him a little in this game against the Rams, then a little more against the Niners, and he has everything it takes to be a big-time player. He just looks the part, and he needs the experience, because when he gets in there in that first game, you know, Matt Ryan is going to be doing a lot of play action with Jonathan Taylor, and he's going to throw that ball down the field. People expect Stingley to make big plays right off the bat since he was third overall pick.
Yep. Looks the part. We'll see. And he's got to make it happen in the games. All right. So that's our recap of the Texans 17-13 win over the Saints.